the stubborn state of Europe's economic recovery.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith with the Marketplace Midday Update. Some not-so-great economic news out of Europe. Gross domestic product is out for the second quarter, and across the board, economic growth was flat in the eurozone. Germany, Europe's largest economy, contracted in the second quarter. But the future is already looking brighter, says James Knightley, senior economist at ING in London.
We are hopeful of a recovery in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. The benefits from the weaker euro, the improving credit conditions, and to be honest, we have seen a bit of improvement in sentiments, all should combine to see a better growth number. The risk, of course, is largely from geopolitics. Will the Russia-Ukraine tensions increase? Because, of course, Europe does a lot of trade with Ukraine and Russia. And so that is, I think, the clear threat to that growth story.
Now all eyes are on the European Central Bank to see if today's news drives it to more aggressive action. Walmart announced second quarter earnings a few minutes ago. The news was not great. Sales were flat, and the retail giant cut its earnings forecast for the year. But the company has a plan, as Gigi Dubin reports.
When you think of social responsibility in the corporate world, Walmart is not the first company that comes to mind. Yet the company is working on initiatives from cutting the amount of water in detergent to partnering with women-owned businesses.
I think certainly PR's got to be part of it, right? I mean, I don't think it's all altruism.
Peter Mueller is an analyst at Forrester.
So if they pull it off, it will look good for them, right?
And after years of bad press over employee relations, that could be a smart move. Stephen Brown teaches marketing at the University of Houston.
It's kind of in tune with the zeitgeist in corporate America, where corporations increasingly realize that their employees need to identify with a good employer who does good for them as employees and also for the community at large.
The challenge, Brown says, is doing good while continuing to make a profit. And, he says, getting the skeptics to buy it. I'm Gigi Dubin for Marketplace.
Many companies have wellness programs that encourage workers to exercise or manage conditions such as diabetes. But the workplace has lagged in dealing with mental health issues. From WYPR in Baltimore, Donna Marie Owens reports.
Ever take a day off from work and tell your boss you needed a sick day when what you really needed was a mental health day? Deb Jacobs, an HR pro, says you're not the only one. She sits on the advisory council of the Disability Management Employer Coalition.
We have had a lot of employees that have physical disabilities, but we find out as we're looking into their cases that they also have a mental behavioral health issue going on at the same time.
Behavioral health, essentially a mashup of mental and physical health, is getting more attention in the workplace, Jacobs says. A report from Employers Health says that workers miss more days of work and are less productive due to mental illness than chronic conditions such as high blood pressure and even back pain. Some estimates say this is costing employers upwards of $100 billion. I'm Donna Marie Owens for Marketplace.
Yesterday, in a story on school staffing, we referenced a report from Fordham University. That report had an incorrect figure about how much staffing had increased. The increase was nearly 400% over 30 years, from 1.3 million to 6.2 million. When you catch a new movie at the multiplex, chances are it's digital projection technology. That means no scratched frames or dropped dialogue. But digital is proving a tough sell to smaller theaters. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, Grant Blankenship reports.
Film snakes around the projection booth at the Parkway Discount Cinema in Warner Robins, Georgia. Theater manager Alicia Bowers has a love-hate relationship with film these days.
Run too fast and it'll throw the film on the ground, or if they're moving it from one platter to another platter, like they drop it, it's a big pile of mess.
A digital blockbuster, by contrast, is delivered on a 6-inch by 4-inch hard drive. The Parkway's run is coming to an end this summer. It's closing rather than convert to digital. Why?
It's questionable whether you could recover your investment. It's something around $50,000, $75,000 a screen to convert to digital.
That's Bill Stembler, CEO of the Georgia Theater Company. He says when you do the math for a 16-screen multiplex, you get the picture. Luckily, the movie studios have a solution. They offer theaters a subsidy called virtual print fees. Every time you buy a ticket at the multiplex at what the studios call full price, the studios pay to help retire a piece of the theater's digital debt.
The film companies are basically paying for about 80-85% of our cost to be digital.
Unless you're a discount screen.
They don't care about the discount theaters.
So how do virtual print fees work at your local art house? Sarah Beresford is a board member at Cine, an independent theater in Athens, Georgia.
But I think for a lot of the art house cinema operators, there were too many strings attached to that agreement.
Remember, virtual print fees come with studio demands about which movies will be shown. Art house operators like their independence. At the Parkway Discount Cinema, Alicia Bowers resets for the next show.
You know, it's rewarding to be able to get it up on the screen and seeing it play, and it's definitely a nostalgic feeling.
But film lovers only have a little time left to indulge that nostalgia. In Macon, Georgia, I'm Grant Blankenship for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.